So it was 2 weeks ago when we last looked at 1 Peter, and O'Connell was talking about now that he was opening up the theme of a Christian community, what we do together, and its foundation being love, that we love one another sincerely as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And why do we do this? Why, you know, because we've been changed. We've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the Word of God, through the living and enduring Word of God. And that's the change in us. And it says that all men are like grass, and their glory in their own right is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fail, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. And through the word of God, we have been born again to the living and enduring word of God. And that's why that has made the change. And that's why we have some ability to love each other sincerely from the heart. And I think he was leading into the theme, you know, that because of this, like we're gathered together here as a community of brothers and sisters, and you know, and to be a community not only on a Sunday, but on a Monday, that the effect of this has in our lives that we're part of other communities as well, in where we live and how we interact with people that we work with, our neighbours, friends, etc. So that was coming to the end of the first chapter of 1 Peter. So again, you know, if anybody, even when I'm talking, if anybody wants to interrupt and say something or ask something, feel free. I don't mind if people interrupt me while I'm speaking. If you want to ask questions, that's fine, you know, and I'll repeat the questions back, because it's for the sake of the fact that we're recording this, so I can repeat the questions back that people ask. We don't have to go up to people with a microphone. It would be off-putting, I think. But if people want to use the microphone, that's fine. It's there. So anyway, we start. That was the end of 1 Peter, that we were born through the living and, again, through the living and enduring Word of God, and that this is the Word of God that was preached to us. And going into the second chapter, he says, therefore, this is the first verse of 1 Peter 2, and because of what's happened to us, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. So, if we've been born again of the living and enduring Word of God, and God lives in us, he's also recognizing that if we walk, what he's recognizing, the love, sincerity from the heart, these come by our walk in the Spirit. But there's also the flesh. The flesh isn't gone away. The flesh has to be put to death. And Peter recognizes that there's still, if we walk in the flesh, these are the things that will come up in our lives. And this is our choice. God hasn't taken away our free wills. So therefore, we ought to walk by the Spirit as opposed to walk in the flesh. If we walk in the flesh, these are the things that will come up. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. And therefore, Peter says, rid yourself of all these. These are understandable things if we're walking in the flesh. Therefore, what do we have to do? We have to rid ourselves of them. Okay. As I understand it, anybody's free to make a contribution to this. My understanding of it is that as we're born again of the Spirit. Our spirits have been made alive in Christ, by Christ, by the Holy Spirit. He's come into our lives. But it's our spirit has been made alive. My flesh, my body, has not been made alive. And the change that is happening is the renewing of my mind as I walk by the Spirit under the guidance of the Lord and yield to Him. My mind is being renewed, but there's no redemption in me in at all for my, and of course I'm using the scriptural words, but for the flesh, other people call it the carnal nature, the human nature. There is no redemption at all for your human nature. The only thing, your human nature, my human nature is flawed. It has been flawed because of the natural flaws that are in me that have come down from Adam. So my human nature is flawed, and there's no redemption for it. Only death. There's no redemption. It's our spirits are made alive, and that's it's the change from the inside. And as we walk with the Lord, the change comes from the inside out, not from the outside in. And therefore, that's why this body, my human nature, my human mind, the conscious mind, is not, I believe, and it's open to contradiction, is not going to heaven. What goes to heaven, my spirit has been made alive, and then, and there's an outworking of that, of the salvation from within, through my soul, into my soul. But my body is going into a box and down to the earth. So, because God, in His absolute wisdom, in the way He has created us, has never taken away, the one thing He hasn't taken away is our free will. And so, we can choose to walk by our own nature, or to walk by the Spirit, by what He wants, through the Holy Spirit. And so I think that's the great challenge. I believe we have the Spirit within us, which changes us, but we can make the choice to walk by our own nature. That's what I believe. Because I don't think God didn't take away our free wills. He absolutely respected our free wills. Because every day He wants our hearts. He wants us to choose Him every day. I don't think He waves a spiritual wand over us when we're born again, and that we're made perfect overnight. He hasn't done it in me. Yeah. I know. And therefore, He wants our hearts, He wants us to choose Him every day. And sometimes I don't. I choose the way of my human nature, my flesh. And and that's what the point I was making, you see, is that we have been born again to the living and enduring Word of God, and yet, wonderfully, and therefore, in the next verse, Peter says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy. He recognizes that these things are in our human nature. And he's saying, get rid of them. Yeah. No, it's not an overnight thing. But what he does give us is the change in direction in our lives, that new heart, a new spirit, so that, at least we know where to turn, and that we have the ability to choose Him. I can choose to come here today. I have a new direction in my life. I can come here today and worship the Lord. So, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So, with this new birth that we've come into, Jesus wants us to grow up in this. So there's a growing process, a growing up process, as opposed to an overnight wave a spiritual wand over you and you're perfect. You're actually grown up totally mature and totally perfect. It isn't like that at all. So crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And we have all tasted that the Lord is good. That's why we want the Lord. As you come to him, as you come to Jesus, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, precious to God. So we realize that Jesus, you know, in his time was rejected then, back then, when he walked the earth. He's by and large, for the most part of the world, rejected now as well. But Jesus was chosen by God and precious to him. And we also. And when he says you also, it's you plural. You in the body of Christ. It isn't just me as an individual. It's you also, like not one stone, like living stones, a collection of stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. So as we come together in a community, we're being built into a spiritual house together to be a holy priesthood, not just one priest, a priesthood, a group, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So it isn't just individuals. We're being built into a unit together to be something wonderful, a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For, and this was prophesied before, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And the cornerstone in any building is very important, that it's set out right, because it sets the shape of the house. And it's very important. So the prophet was saying, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So God himself is building a work. He has laid this precious and chosen cornerstone, his own son. And whoever trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. And one of the things I've often said here, whatever, in Christianity, you have to believe. You just have to believe. You don't have to make the tea or do, but you have to believe, to get anything out of this, you have to believe. And it's so easy out in the world that people just don't believe. It's so precious that we have something, that we believe in God. At work the other day, I said to the guy, I share an office with a guy, and we were talking about something that was, something going on, and people were upset. And I said, Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation. Now, he didn't appreciate it, because he doesn't believe. You know, he didn't see that it was helpful for me to say, the tribulation, you know, I wasn't surprised at the tribulation, because in this world you'll have tribulation. But to those who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected. So this has been rejected. Jesus has been rejected. And it has become the cornerstone or the capstone. And a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And people, you know, get incensed, you know, if religion is brought up. It's, you know, in sometimes in everyday conversation, if it's, you know, we're a secular country now, we can't be bringing up these things. You hear this stuff, you know, it's very important, we're secular, you know, can't be bringing up Christianity, you know. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. You know, we believe. And yet, you know, people turn away from God, turn away from religion, and they stumble. You know, religion is a private affair. It's just between me and God, you know. You know, this is the attitude. And they reject, and then they stumble. They disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you, as a people, as the people of God, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. So that was what the people of Israel in the Old Testament, the chosen people, the Jews, were regarded as a chosen people, a royal nation, priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. But now we're part of that. We're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So that's what we become a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy, that we may declare the praises of Jesus who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's his purpose. And therefore, you know, Peter says to them, you know, once you were not a people, maybe the. Now, I know he was writing to people in Asia Minor. Maybe they weren't of a Jewish background, but now you weren't a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So they were the Gentiles, but now they've become the people of God. Once they hadn't received mercy, now they have received mercy. And then he says, dear friends, you know, wonderful opening again to this. Dear friends, I urge you, like the words of Paul, I beseech you, as aliens and strangers, that was their position in the world, aliens and strangers, they weren't fitting in. But he asked them to abstain from sinful desires, i.e. the desires must be in there, in the flesh, in our carnal nature, in our human nature, those sinful desires excess, and he's urging them to abstain from those sinful desires which war against your soul. And that's the damage they can do. The damage to your soul. They war against your soul. And in this life, the words of, I'll go back on this now, I hadn't put it into the slide.
But in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter 1, I'll read a few verses. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him, you believe in him.
So we do not see God. We don't see, right, Jesus, I don't see him with my eyes now.
But we still love him. We believe in him. And though you do not see him now, you believe and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you receiving the goal of your faith, the purpose of your faith and of my faith, for you are receiving. It's a present continuous thing. It'll happen again tomorrow. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So this is a continuous thing day by day as we walk with the Lord. The salvation of our souls. Our spirits have been made alive at new birth. But the goal and the purpose as we walk with the Lord every day is something that is happening, is the salvation of our souls. So it seems, and I'm not an expert on this, that there are two processes. A once-off process when we come to Jesus and are born again of the Spirit, i.e. our spirits have been made alive. Our spirits have come alive and we're conscious of God. The Holy Spirit has come into our lives. But the outworking of that every day as we walk by the Spirit and not by our human nature, the outworking of that and the result of that day in, day out is the salvation of our souls. What can come against this? Well, sinful desires and giving into them can come against us, because that wars or causes damage against your soul. And I'm conscious of this myself. And David is very obvious, but he's not saying a word here. But what's our soul? I give you my opinion, because I can't reach into it and pull it out and show it to you. Okay. My spirit is the thing, right? And you see, we're using examples that that I find it hard to explain it. But I know my body's on the outside. I think that's obvious to everyone here today. Like, that my body here is on the outside, you know? And you can see that. And in the, this is what I believe, and I believe in my subconscious, not my conscious. My conscious is the mind, the thought that's going right now through my mind is my conscious mind. But I know this thing called the subconscious. Because things can come out, you know, I mean, if you come over with a hammer and hit me in my foot, a subconscious thing can come out, you know. Now, maybe I'm kind of being flippant, but there's stuff that goes deep down inside, I suppose, to do with my behavior and my, maybe, and I think it's inside the emotions and, you know, my real personality down there. And it's me. And it's my soul. And then inside that, it's my spirit, that thing that connects with God. Before I came to know God, that was dead. That connection that I could have had with God was dead. I didn't know God. There was something in me because of sin, the sin inherited from Adam. My flawed human condition, that thing right on the inside of me was dead. That connection with God, the thing that God would communicate with, was dead. But then, through new birth, it's been made alive. And Jesus came in by his Spirit. And that thing in the inside was made alive. And that, as I walk with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit within communicates in my spirit, and that changes me from the inside out, and it changes me in my soul. Now, this is what I believe.
I think, you know, we all have to, it's one of these things we, you know, we have to figure it out for ourselves, you know, and what makes, but the world, you know, it's there. You know, Paul in, I figure out things my own way. But it's there in the scriptures. I mean, in twice in 1 Peter, actually there are 3 references in 1 Peter to the soul. There are very few references actually in the New Testament, I think, to the soul. But there are 3 here. I've given you the first one there, the salvation of your souls, the thing that war against your souls, and later on, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. I think that's the next reference in 1 Peter. And of course, the word of God in Hebrews is like a two-edged sword. It's able to divide between joints and marrow, soul and spirit. So the word of God is, and dare I say, like put it, it's active ingredient. It's able to get down there and even despite our understanding, we don't have to understand it, and it's able to do something between our soul and spirit. Now, if I quickly look at that, just the salvation of your soul. You know, she was conscious of a thing like that, the salvation. Now, she wouldn't have been conscious of the salvation of your spirit. But, you know, for the salvation of your soul, she would say, you know. But in the New Testament, it isn't mentioned much. Your spirit is mentioned. But it does mention, Paul, or whoever wrote the Hebrews, says, the word of God is living and active, strong, sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So, right now, I mean, I can't clearly explain. It's Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and sharper, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So therefore, even if I can't explain precisely, in precise technical language, what the soul, the difference between the soul and the spirit, I know that the word of God can get in there. It is the word of God. The word of God penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And it judges right down in here, in me, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of my heart. So, and nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. So it's able to go down and do the work. And it's God, as we walk with the Lord, walk by His Spirit, our minds are being renewed. Romans 12, by the renewal of our minds, so transformed, yeah. Yeah, I suppose what, okay, I suppose I'm, I'm, yet, yeah, I have a Greek mind as opposed to a Hebrew mind. But, you know, the evidence tells me that my body is going down in the earth and that there's a separation, you know, that my body goes down and is buried. And if there's a resurrection, it's something new. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Now, I've heard it, when I look at Hebrews, that the Word of God divides between between soul and joint and marrow, soul and spirit. Where is it? It's four twelve. Now, I've heard it. I've read it. That there, they believe the spirit is the spirit of God in you. If you're saying it's interchangeable. It's saying here the Word of God penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit. That when we talk about spirit, it's Jesus living in me. It's the Spirit of God, as opposed to, the Spirit living in me, then my spirit, my soul, then my body. You know, I'm just, and finds us out. Nothing is hidden. That though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So in that world that they lived as aliens and strangers, the main thing was that, even if they were accused of doing things wrong, that at least that those pagans would see that, these Christians were their good deeds, and they would glorify God on the day he visits us. That's all. So that's all the verses today from 1 to 12.